Hey guys, welcome to the Make the Day Awesome podcast. I'm your host, Joshua Luther, and today we have one of the most significant people in my life that I've had the ability to become friends with and consider him part of the family, Mr. Jamie Hyde. Jamie is a mindset coach and a marketing consultant. He's got a big focus in the trades industries with his marketing approach and from a organic standpoint. So Jamie, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Josh. Appreciate you having me here, brother.
Absolutely, man. So tell us a little bit more about yourself, what you're doing in your mindset coaching and your marketing business. Let's give the listeners a little bit of who you are as a person.
All right. Well, I know that you're one of them Ohio State fans. So, you know, I grew up in the great state of Michigan. So go blue as always. We always got to tease each other about that a little bit. But when I was 18 years old, I migrated down to South Florida. And, you know, typical, I don't want to say typical traumatic childhood. Everybody's had trauma in their childhood. My parents divorced at 7. I went through some stuff as a young person that wasn't exactly pleasant to go through. Not crying about it. Everybody's had something. And I've discovered through the years that your level of trauma is really your level of trauma. So if you've been on a lower level of trauma, as the public might say, but somebody else has been through some really rough stuff, it's still yours, and you can only perceive what you've been through. So going through all that, coming down to South Florida, I got to realize my dream of being a police officer down in Broward County for about 12 years or so. And through all that and some of the stuff I suffered through there, married and divorced young, and then met my wife, wandered about trying to figure out my calling after I left the police department, and, you know, settled into Apex, which you're familiar with, and through there, just started following my calling for God. It's a long story, and I'm kind of not being evasive, but, you know, you don't have a 6-hour podcast, so just trying to get to the point as quickly as possible. I suffered a lot of crap. A lot of people suffer a lot of crap. Ended up asking for help, returning to church. I found God again in my life, and I decided to use this stuff to help other people.
Beautiful. Well, we're going to break that down a little bit, because the whole point of this podcast is to shine a light for those people who feel like they're lost in the pit and they don't know where they're going. Kind of like what I was experiencing when we really connected on a whole nother level, and you were there to help guide me through that journey, right? To give me a little bit of insight and a little push, and just to see myself as a better person, right?
Right.
So in your journey, you said you've had a lot of traumas. Dude, we all have traumas that we deal with in our life, right? It's how we handle those. How did you go about handling your trauma?
Like most
before,
people.
Before
I started to get better.
Before you started to work through the trauma and releasing it.
Yeah. So people, when they're running from themselves, it usually manifests in one of a handful of ways, right? Usually it looks like alcohol, drugs, pornography, inappropriate sexual relationships, food, and then even some people, workaholism, or even like gym, right? I mean, we take people that are workaholics or people that go to the gym all the time, and we tend to praise them because, hey, you're a doer, you're a get things done kind of person. Hey, you're in great shape, right? And from a public standpoint, we look at that as a good thing, and it is on a healthy, or if it helps you make money, cool. But if you're using that to avoid your emotional pain, it's not emotionally healthy. Right. So it's no pornography, alcohol, drugs in a way, even though obviously it's a healthier for your physical body. Right. So mine was food and inappropriate sexual relationships. Being a former police officer, drugs weren't on the table. Alcoholism ran in my family. So I was kind of conscious of that. So I never let that get out of control. Might've had my time in the sun there as a younger man, but I never got too crazy with it on a consistent basis. But food's legal and easy, and a young man in shape at the time in uniform, you can imagine where that goes. And so that's how I dealt with it. And then I just wasn't dealing with it very well at all. I just kept going and going and going until literally I hit a breaking point. And then I don't know. Do you want me to get into how I started to heal, or you tell me, bro?
Well, what was that breaking point?
Well, so
let's hit that bottom first, and then we can talk about the healing journey.
Well, so that's why I asked if we wanted to get into the healing journey, because I didn't start to heal until someone told me I needed to heal, and that's when I hit my breaking point. Right. So let me explain what that means. Okay. I didn't know how lost I was. Okay. Thought I had it under control, thought I could deal with it, thought I could live with this person that I was. And I hired a coach in 2015. And we're sitting around a buffet table together after an event. And my wife was there. She didn't come to the event, but she had joined us for dinner. And she had returned to church 3 years prior. And as you know, I was out of church. I was definitely agnostic, if not very borderline atheist. I didn't know if there was God, but if there was, I definitely didn't like him very much. We had gone through a lot of stuff with our son, which isn't really necessary. I've talked about it, but it's not super necessary to get at this point. But it caused me to, quote, walk away from God, end quote, right?
Yeah.
I was mad at him. I hated him. Why did we have to go through these issues with my son? Et cetera. But he had stepped back in and pulled my wife back into church 3 years prior. And she had asked me to come back, begged me to come back. And I was just straight up being a jerk about it, right? I'm not going. I said some really awful things to her, things that I deeply regret to this day about people that go to church, et cetera. But I'd hired this coach, and he was a strong Christian. And we're at dinner, and it's on Saturday night, and he looks across the table, and he's kind of across the table, but to the right of me, because it was a long buffet table. And my wife's sitting on my lap, so it's a diagonal situation. And he says, what are y'all doing tomorrow? I don't respond because I know he's a strong Christian and I know he's getting that already. And my wife says, who, me? She says, well, I go to church. I serve children's early service. I sit late service. I spend Sunday afternoons with my mother, who was still with us at the time. She was in a nursing home. And Jamie, he's kind of on his own on Sundays. So he looks at me and he says, what about you? You're going to go to church tomorrow? And I don't respond. So there's like this little pause standoff between us where we're just kind of staring at each other. So he says, let me ask you a question. He said, do you want God to show up for you in your life and in your business? So what are you going to say to that, right? The answer is always, of course. So he says, well, then you need to show up for God. He's like, take your wife to church tomorrow, would you? So I consider myself somewhat of a logical person, and I really couldn't argue with that logic at that moment. So we're walking out of the restaurant after dinner, and my wife takes me by the hand, and she stops and looks up at me. She says, are you really going to go to church with me tomorrow? And I said, yep. She said, well, wait a minute. I've been going for 3 years and begging you, and this guy, we go to dinner with this guy one time, and he tells you to go to church, and now you're going, what's up with that? You know, she was definitely had the right to feel a little disrespected at this point. And I said, well, I paid him $2,500 to tell me to go to church. To which she replied with calling me a not nice couple of terms of non-endearment. And I said, we know this. You are a, you know, y'all can figure that out from there. So so I went back to church. I went the next day, and it's not one of those I walked in and I was saved stories. I hated it. I didn't want to be there. I was miserable. I was You might as well have asked me to whatever, right? It's just the most miserable thing you could think of. I was miserable. I hated it. Sat there with my arms folded, crossed, pissed off look on my face. But I made a promise I'd go, so I kept going. And what that coach had said to me made sense. So I kept going, and I kept going, and I kept going. And one day, they were repaving the parking lot. We were meeting in a school, and they funneled us off the back instead of the front, and the pastor, his way of doing things was he would let worship music play you out, you know, go stand by the door and greet everybody as they left. So I'm leaving, and he's shaking hands, and he stops me, and he puts his hands on my shoulders, and he just says, you need to stop living your past or living your future. Now, we had started attending that church about 23-ish years prior to that. But we went early on, and then I went away and got lost. So I'd never really said but five words to this guy. And just a flood of tears. I wear my sunglasses on top of my head. I flipped them down, crying all the way to the car, you know, and I don't know what I'm going through at this point. I have no clue what's happening in my life. I just know something's happening. So after that, Sunday after Sunday, I'm sitting there crying, which you and I now know that Jesus or God was washing me clean and cleaning me up inside. And And then it would, then it was getting to the point where it was like a Wednesday night and we're watching TV and stuff, something makes me cry. And my wife's like, why are you crying? I'm like, I have no clue. I can't tell you. I just know that I am. So we're going through all that and I started to grow. So that was June of 2015, Easter 2016. I decided to get baptized. But I still wasn't living me and I still wasn't being the husband that I was born to, you know, I should have been, right? And yep. So between Christmas and New Year's of 2017, I made a bad decision, and I had made it many times in my past, to be honest. And I couldn't live with this one for whatever reason. I couldn't live with this one, and it was just eating me up. So this is the falling part. So I say I went to church 2015. I say I got baptized Easter 2016, but the truth is I didn't come home to Christ in my heart till 2018. Right. That's the truth. That's when I started to get healed. And so that was the downfall. That was the roughest moment, because I could no longer live with actions that I'd taken in the past. I was just brushed off as just something I did. And again, it goes back to my childhood. But, you know, I don't know, we necessarily need to get into all those details right now. But you're aware of them. And so, January 28th, basically for like the week before, I was out. You know, there's a story in the Bible. I think it's Jacob that God's fighting with, where God breaks his hip, right? Is it Jacob? Am I correct? I can't string two Bible stories together, but
I'm bad with that too.
Yeah. So I think it's Jacob's wrestling with God in his mind or whatever, and they're wrestling all night, and God breaks his hip, and then he can't fight anymore. So he has to submit to God, essentially. I know for the Bible scholars out there, don't crucify me. I might be a Christian. It doesn't mean, you know, I know all the stories heart by heart. Yeah.
It was Jacob.
So that's what I thought. So that's what was going on, right? I was fighting with God in my head, and God's yelling. He's yelling. He's like, you got to tell your wife, you got to come clean, you got to confess. And I'm like, I'm not doing it. I'm not hurting her. And then in this one specific moment, I said, she doesn't know I'm not telling her. God said, she knows. She just doesn't know how bad or whatever, which turns out she didn't know, at least maybe, who knows, denial, whatever. So January 28, 2018, I confessed and I asked for help. I didn't ask her to forgive me. I told her flat out, you're probably going to leave me. I understand that. But before you go, just, I need help. I don't want to be this human being anymore. I don't want to live like this anymore. This is not the man I want to be. This is not the husband I want to be. And even if our marriage is over, please just help me get help. And from there, that afternoon, we met with our pastors. They suggested a therapist there in town in the city of Boynton Beach, John Hawkins Jr., Gateway Counselor. I'll give him a little plug because he absolutely had a huge part in saving my life. And we started going to him, a week and a half later. And we went into it with, obviously, we're here for a reason. God wants us to be here. We don't know if we can afford it, but if we're supposed to be here, we'll work it out. And really put our marriage on the back burner. We both took the attitude, you know, because she made a comment, like, we pulled in, like, what are we even doing here? Our marriage is probably over. And I said, I agree. It probably is. But I've asked you for help. And you have to admit, you didn't have the greatest childhood either. You probably have some issues you might need to deal with. So why don't we do this? Why don't we just go in with the vein of, we're both going to become better people, right? And I'll support you in that. And if you'll support me and me becoming and trying a better person, let's just not even worry about what's going to happen to our marriage yet. Let's just put that away, right? I understand. Yeah. I accept it. I deserve it. If you want to leave, I deserve it. But let's just both try to become better people. And then she said, okay, I can live with that. So through therapy, now I feel like this was the beginning of the redemption. This was the beginning of healing, right? I confessed, told her everything, didn't hold nothing back. And we just sat there, Friday after Friday after Friday. And then what we started to do was go out to lunch after every therapy session. So still today, 4.5 hours, years later, we still meet with our therapist every other week now instead of every week. I actually asked him last week, and we are, other than one other, we are his longest running patients. And but it's cool because we still need that. Even today, even though our marriage is back together and 6 months into it, I never did ask her to forgive me because I never felt like I deserved it. But she did send me a text message out of her own and just said, I love you. I forgive you. Let's get on with our life. And my wife will tell you, and you've probably heard her say this yourself, us being friends for a while now. She felt she had to forgive me because if Jesus forgave her for her and her sins, who is she not to forgive me? And that was her stance on it, right? Yeah. And that doesn't always necessarily mean you need to be together either, but you know, it just kept working out and working out. And she said, and the big, I'd like to speak on that for just a moment. Like the big turn there was going to therapy together. And I know I shared that with you in the past, going to therapy together, not separate. Some of these therapists want you to go separate and then they try to work it out. And then what happened was things get interpreted through your own hurt. They get filtered through what you've been through and your point of view. So therapist might've said one thing, she brings home, translates it to something else. If I feel kicked in the head, when it's not exactly how you meant it or whatever, and not her fault. It's just, this is what happens in our psychology, right? In our psyche.
Yeah.
So we made a rule and now we're fine. Cause now if I'm out of town or she's got something going on, we can do sessions on our own and we're good. But we made a rule that we wouldn't do any more sessions alone. We would only be there together. Everybody's in the same room. There's no misinterpretations of what got said. And if there was, it could be figured out and talked through. Right. That was probably the best turning point we made in our therapy, was going together. And again, just supporting each other, becoming better human beings. So I'll let you ask another question. But from there, that was the start. That was the turning point. But it's important, you know, that I didn't hit the crash until I started to heal first. And then it was pointed out what was still really holding me back. You know, again, I call that from God. So,
you know, I think it's kind of ironic because I was, it came across my mind the other day, how I was looking at not only my journey over this past little over a year, right? But I started analyzing some of the people around our circle of influence and looking at some of the journeys that they've had along the way. And I see that there's a very similar pattern there where we start to get this come up, right? We're going up the roller coaster and then all of a sudden there's this drop. But then after that drop, comes this amazing rise that everybody has had in their journey. And I clicked that pattern the other day. I'm really good at seeing patterns like that, but it clicked and I was like, damn. And then here you are just confirming you went through a similar scenario. You started your journey, but then there was that little dip and then boom.
And that really almost similar to the fish hook of building a company, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And now you're helping people, making an impact on their journey, much like you made an impact on mine with your mindset and marketing business, right? ABCS Promotions.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit more about how that whole.
Yeah. So when I left the sheriff's office in 2001, after 12 years in law enforcement, I went into commercial real estate. And essentially just, I was full of depression and anxiety and I didn't know it. And I didn't know how to ask for help. Mm-hmm. Here I'd started law enforcement for 12 years. And my brother-in-law was a commercial real estate agent making $500,000 a year. And I was risking my life with a 3-year-old at home making $53,000 a year. And at that point, life just didn't seem fair. You know, I don't get it. And I've always had, and we all have that entrepreneurial bug in us. It just doesn't matter when it comes out. Right. And I was always doing side hustles all the time. I was a police officer. I had an alarm company. I tried Amway, whatever. And I'd fallen into another multi-level marketing company, which is actually what I left the sheriff's office to do. And after 18 months doing that, not making any money, my brother-in-law was just like, go get your real estate license and come work with me in commercial real estate. And I'll teach you what you need to know. So I did that for a while. Unfortunately, he passed away of alcoholism and then I was just kind of lost. I didn't have my mentor anymore. And an opportunity came up to start my own business with a partner. So we did that. So I worked commercial real estate from 2001, the end of 2001 through the beginning of 2006, started that company with a partner. Turned out we were much better friends than we were partners. 2007, we split, started over, ran that business through 2011, made some money, did okay with it. But I was working by myself. And then the summer of 2011, I got really slow. And Marcy came to me one day. She's just like, okay, look, either rebuild your business or like go get a job. Because like you made really good money for like 4 years, but like for the last 3 months, you've not made but $1,000 or $2,000 a month. So I'm like, all right, well, this is lonely and I don't really want to rebuild this business. And I was tired of just being by myself all the time. So I just looked around it. Found something that might be interesting, which is actually kind of how you and I connected years later, was based on this experience. I decided to go sell cars.
Yeah.
And you'd made a post in a group about getting into the car business. And that's when I originally reached out to you, just offered to help you. That's how we became friends. Right.
Yeah.
So in the car business, but the entrepreneurial bug was always there. So it was the end of 2011. And within a couple of weeks, I heard about this. We had a guy in our sales team, and he didn't deal with clients that came in off the street. He only worked with auto brokers. So auto brokers would represent the buyers or bring them to him, and then he'd just do those deals. And he didn't do anything else. And I thought, that's pretty cool. So I started learning about this auto broker thing, and I made up my mind within a month of being in the car business that I wanted to be an auto broker, which would mean someday leaving the car business and starting that. So I went home and told my wife that. She said, what does that mean? And how are you going to do it? And as usual, my response was, I have no idea, but we'll figure it out. So I stayed in the car business almost three full years, like literally like a month short of three full years, and left to start my own auto broker business, which I ran from November 1 of 2014 through December 2019. But in 2018, I found Apex and got exposed to a whole Break Free Academy, a whole new world of entrepreneurs, and all kinds of interesting ideas about marketing and how to use social media. And I'd already, when I went into therapy, I'd already left that coach that led me back to church. And I was coaching with somebody else at the time also. And Marcy just, I just wanted 100% focus on Marcy and our marriage. And that's all that I was trying to and become better people. So I had blocked out all of the coaches. But again, we started in January, first week of February with John. And then that August, I found Sales Talk. And by October, I was back. I was in Apex, which was my third group, and found this whole other world. So through that, I dipped my toes in solar. Now my shiny, as most entrepreneurs, now my shiny object syndrome was high alert. It was running 1,000 miles an hour. So I dipped my toes into solar. I tried telecom. I just looked at everything. And then my son blew his knee out, needed a reconstruction on his knee for the third time. And he's home. He was in college. He was going into his senior year. He could no longer work his part-time job. He was just doing the college thing on crutches. And I just one day looked at him and I said, hey, you're home. I'm home. The auto broker thing is, it's kind of making money. Not really, not doing what I wanted to do. We want to start a marketing company together. And he's like, yeah, how do we do that? So those famous words, once again, I don't know. We'll figure it out. So that's what we did. And our first job was building a Shopify site from a member of Apex. And we made a few dollars. Actually, we did such a good job. He paid us $1,000 bonus. And we had never built one before. But I was up front. We had never done this before, but we'll figure it out. And we'll just do something that's fair. Right? That's kind of how it worked out. We did that. We built some other things and muddled around. But again, you know, Russell Brunson's blue ocean, red ocean thing is in my head. You know, marketing is such a red ocean, right? Like there's so many people doing it. And it just, again, it wasn't my calling. Solar wasn't my calling. Telecom wasn't my calling. But Bryce and I had started ABCS Promotions as a marketing company.
Yeah.
So through all that, his knee healed up. You know, we weren't really making any money. We were trying to figure it out. He decided to go get a job, become a fitness instructor with Planet Fitness. He got his certifications. He went that route when he went back to work. And I just kind of muddled through life for a little bit. Then we had to move, as you know, and then that's when we really became friends. So we had to move up near where you lived, which was 75 miles north of where we lived. And the day week we moved, we faced a hurricane. So this July of 2020. So COVID had hit. My mom had come and stayed with us, and it became apparent she couldn't live alone anymore. So a lot of hard decisions were made, and it was finally decided it would be best to move north and take care of her than have her move down with us. So God made that happen, and a whole nother side story, how that works, because as you know, my wife still is employed 90 minutes south of us, but we have a condo down there. So she stays there on her work days, comes home on her days off. And it's just God worked it all out because we had a renter. God removed her in a total weird set of circumstances. He made the condo available for my wife to stay in. And we came up here, but we faced a hurricane. Our 12-year-old lab died unexpectedly. I didn't want to move. My wife and I are now not living together after 25 years of marriage. We're now not living together totally 24/7 anymore. Our son moved out on his own for the first time, and I dropped off the deep into a huge depression. Prior to that, I started kind of playing with the idea of coaching people, but I had a huge imposter syndrome. I didn't believe in myself. Who would ever listen to me? I'm just a kid from a farm and, you know, 80 miles north of Detroit and all that. And I just dropped off into a very large depression for about 3 months or so. And I came out to an Apex Live event that December, heard some things there that made me open my brain up. Read a book called The Big Leap. And then in between all that, what I did, and I don't know if I shared this with you or not, but at some point in there, and that, all that mess and that transformation to get God working in my head and working in my life, and growing my relationship with him, I just decided, man, there's so much pressure to make money that, you know what I'm going to do. And this, and by the way, this is like a whole 2 hour thing. This whole thing lasted less than 2 hours. I just said, you know what I'm just going to do? I'm just going to retire. I can't deal with this pressure anymore. And since I can't deal with this pressure anymore, I'm just going to quote unquote retire. I'm not going to do anything. And when I said that to myself, I just felt this huge sense of relief come off my shoulders. So obviously I'm not going to go not tell my wife that I'm retiring because I still need to bring in my shirts, right? But it's just a process I went through in my head by myself sitting in this very office. And I'm just like, I'm just going to retire. And then I'm like, oh man, I just felt this big sense of relief. And then I was like, well, if I'm retired, what am I going to do? Well, I can ride my motorcycle, I can play golf, but Marcy's probably not going to be very happy if all I do is ride my motorcycle and play golf.
Probably not.
And, you know, I'm probably going to get bored. So if I got to do something, what is it that I'm going to do that I'm just going to enjoy? And throughout my whole life as a police officer, I was one of a couple of guys, two or three other guys that helped run the Police Youth Explorer program, right? I was always helpful Henry. You know, I was always offering to help people. I was always helping the rookies. When I left the police department, went to real estate. I was training a guy 6 months after I was in real estate, right? Like, yep. That's just me. It's just my personality. When we had the inspection business, we had 10 people running, working for us at one point. So I was doing that. When I got into car sales, 3 months in, I was helping the new people. You know, it's just always been my thing. It's just always been my thing, you know, always helping, always more like, well, I want to help people. But what does that look like? I have no clue. So again, we'll figure it out. So then I started marrying this idea of like, okay, there's mindset coaches and there's marketing coaches, but marketing coaches, the majority of them are digital marketing coaches. And the thing I know about digital marketing is while you might have a lot of experience and you might have some results, so I'm not down on those guys. Nobody can ever give you a written money back guarantee on digital marketing. There's not a person on this earth that can do it. No. They just can't guarantee it, right? But I can on my organic marketing. I know I could. So I was like, okay. So I went through all this mindset stuff that I really struggled with. I received help and I've learned some NLP techniques. And I was talking this out with my therapist because not only is he a therapist, a specialist in EMDR, also a recovery therapist, but he's also a business performance coach too. So okay. He was not only helping us with our marriage, with our own addictions we were dealing with, becoming a better people, growing. He was also like coaching me on my business too. So, and still does. And actually the whole last hour we met on Friday was just all about my business and the things I could do better and grow even today, right? So I just married this whole point of mindset and marketing together because nobody else was doing it.
And that has led you, I know per our last discussions, you've had the experience of making an impact on a significant amount of people along the journey.
Yeah, we signed our first clients June 15th of a year ago, and today's June 27th of 2022. And we were just a little bit shy of six figures our first year. Nice. Our first 12 months. Now we don't talk about the first 18 months. We didn't make any money, of course. Right.
But from nobody ever talks about the first 18 months.
Right. But no, seriously, from the time we signed our first coaching. So a big part of that, through Apex, through Thomas Keenan, through his book, How to Unfuck Your Business. Right. I learned this concept of visionary and integrator. So this was my launching period. Like I was talking to people and I had prospects and I had people interested. And in fact, I had people that I was talking to, but I went back to Bryce, my son, and I realized that I had raised a classic integrator and I'm a classic visionary. And visionaries are shiny object. They have an idea. They have a vision. Excuse me. And hence the name Vision Quest for Success is the program, right? But my son, he was an integrator. So visionaries, they see it. They know how it can all come together. But integrators are the ones that make stuff happen. They get it done. And watching my son through high school and college, I understood. So I went to him and I said, hey, I have a proposal for you. I need you to quit Planet Fitness and come be my partner again, 50-50, because I'm going to need you to advance this thing forward with me. And I need your skills, and you're probably not going to make money for the next 6 months, but you know, I know your financial position, you're okay for a little bit, and this is what we need to do. And this is what I need. And we could do this and be successful. So it wasn't a, okay, daddy, I'm in. It was like, all right, let me think about it, dad, which, you know, kudos to him for being his own person. Right. So he came back after a week and he goes, okay, I'm in, and I'm going to give notice, and I'm going to start full-time on June 14th. And on June 15th was the day we signed our first two clients. So, no coincidence there. And he's been my partner ever since.
Dude, it just goes to show that no matter what we're going through, there is a better position for us in this journey. I want to jump into real quick talking about the circle of influence that we all carry and how important that is in the role or in your journey, being around the right people and the right connections and being around like-minded individuals.
Okay.
How does that play out for you? Like prior to as a police officer, you didn't have, I think we can safely say you didn't have that network of support from entrepreneurs and visionaries and people who wanted bigger and more. And you knew somewhere in there that there was more for you, but you didn't have that network.
Right. Well, like I've been involved in two previous coaching / groups with a lead mentor in both of them. But they were very different, right? So they were very much into telling you what to not do. Instead of telling you, where Apex is different is they give you a streamline, they give you a system to build a business, and it works for every business. However, they also leave you enough leeway to kind of find your own fitting in there and how to do it within your own talents, so to speak, right? Which is what I enjoyed. But I think what you're getting at, or I think what you're asking me is to be around a large group of people where a number of them were doing very, very well and said they believed in you. And when you go from hanging out with people where if they earned $25,000 in a month, they would think they hit the lottery and that was the epitome of success. And you start hanging out with people where if they were only earning $25,000 per month, you would think they need to apply for food stamps, right? So it's a different world. It's a different matrix of knowing what is possible. Right now we're on a system to hit 40,000 a month this year for sure. Regularly. But it's taken this whole year of starting, getting those first clients, becoming a better coach, becoming a better consultant, getting a system in place. And we're just really now getting another system in place that's going to get us there. And it won't be long. So the first year was really learning. And then for me, it's about the renewals. I'm going to 150% just on renewals from last year, just on renewals, not even counting whatever new clients we bring in. So then we'll go much higher than that 40,000 per month eventually, obviously.
That is beautiful. Dude, I'm glad to hear your success in this journey. Where do people connect with you?
So all over social media, I'm at The Real Jamie Hyde. That's J-A-M-I-H-Y-D-E, just like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. I think we're on Instagram at Vision Quest for Success. We're not heavy there. You can just go find me on Jamie Hyde or The Real Jamie Hyde on Facebook. I have an open public profile. I'm wearing a black polo and I have the words "never quit" across my chest. Pretty easy. I'm not afraid to put my phone number out there. I'll take text messages initially to connect, 561 692 3637, or abcspromo.com is another one. That's probably enough options where they can reach out to you and you can connect us.
I think that is a lot of options, and I'll go ahead and drop those in the bio as well. So before we got a few more minutes left on this call, what is one of the tools that you can share with our community when they are stuck in that pit, they're looking for the way out? What is something you can leave them with to shine a little bit of light on their life?
So if you have a significant other, right, And if you don't, then do it by yourself or somebody that will support you. But sit down and look at the end of your life. Look at age 85, we call it, right? Age 80, age 85, you know, it's about the regular age today to live to, right? Pick that out and just kind of diagram out. I'm not a vision board guy. Our friend Steve does that, but I'm a list it out guy. So just list out, what does your life look like? If you could live your dream life, what does it look like then? Figure out how much money it's going to take to live that dream life. Backtrack it to what you could potentially earn now. And then see how fast you can really get there. Is it really going to take 30, 40, 50 years? Maybe you could do it 2, 3, or 5 years, put you much out of the game. And then the other thing is, if you do have a significant other, when you're in that pit of hell in your mind, and if your significant other's in that pit of hell, agree at least together, if there's nothing else, at least you could sit in that pit together and support each other in that pit.
Beautiful, bro. Dude, I want to say thank you for being here on my journey. Thank you for sharing your journey with our community. Bro, I appreciate you.
Thank you, man. Appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely, dude. So we're going to wrap this up, guys. Remember, if you know somebody that needs to hear this message, send it to them in text, a DM, get it out there. And remember, make the day awesome, guys. We'll talk to you soon.